This looks a little different, doesn't it? Which means, I wonder what they're doing tonight at She Ministry. Well, I'll tell you what we're doing. As I was looking at the text this week, this is how my brain works. Did you ever see that movie, A Beautiful Mind, where the guy like just drew things all over walls? It's a little bit like that. So I pull out pads of paper and I start moving things around. And what happened is I was studying the text. I started realizing that it fell into kind of like two columns, the put off, put on, the old man, the new man, the unholy and the holy. So literally I made two columns. You might want to do that in your notes. You could make two columns and you could say put off, put on, or old man, new man, yuck, yummy. I don't care what you want to do, but it's the opposites that I kind of did in the columns. And then I went through the whole text and I divided everything that Paul said into those columns. Corrupt, bad column. Tender-hearted, good column. You know, lewd, bad column. Gracious, good column. And then, of course, my mind had them all in the columns. And I thought, I wonder if you could do one of those games where you connect this to this. And this, you know, like the opposite thing. So, of course, I had to do that. And as I was doing that, I realized there were kind of five categories in a human life that Paul was talking about these contrasts. It started with the mind. So your first point under your columns, there's contrast in your mind. Number two, it went to the heart. It talked about a blind, ignorant heart. It talked about being tender-hearted. Number three, it went to our soul. It showed whether it was corrupt or whether it was righteous and true. And then from there it went to our speech. Because, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? What's in there comes out here. What's in there comes out there. And then finally, our behavior, what we do. And it's kind of like a tipping domino. Brrr. The whole battle is fought in your mind. If your mind is lost, all is lost. Ladies, if you don't know Spiritual Warfare 101, and you will by chapter 6, that the battle is for your mind. And once you succumb in your mind, your heart will become darkened, and then you'll just tumble from there. So I thought, you know, I could give them a bunch of definitions of what lewd means or corrupt means or righteous or true, and some of them are kind of obvious. So I thought, you know, it'd be really cool is if we did a makeover mashup. So we're having a makeover this evening. But it's a makeover of our souls. Do you guys know what a mashup is? It's like you sing and then they sing and it's like, oh yeah. Okay, well, we're doing makeovers tonight. And we're going to have five women share their testimonies of how God made them over. But I wanted to start with a really cute video that would set this thing up.
Who is that sad little person?
Are we doing a before and after piece I don't know about?
Would you look at that girl? She is so adorably clueless.
Cher, she is toe up.
Your appearance does reflect a certain crudeness, my dear.
Yes, you squashed cabbage leaf. You disgrace to the noble architecture of these columns. You incarnate insult to the English language.
I said to myself, go ahead. Take a chance. Hire the smart fat girl.
You're sitting there with a supercuts haircut, you're getting drunk on watered-down vodka cranberries like a 14-year-old girl, and you're wearing a 44 when you should be wearing a 42 regular. Honestly, I don't know if I should help you or I should euthanize you.
This is the type of girl that Warner wants to marry. This is what I need to become to be serious.
What? Practically deformed?
You don't want to start off on the wrong foot now, do you? I've got an idea. Let's do a makeover.
We're going to make you one of us.
At this point, what have you got to lose?
Oh, I don't know.
Hey, come on, everybody. We're doing a makeover.
Cher's main thrill in life is a makeover, okay? It gives her a sense of control in a world full of chaos.
Darling, shall we? We have to get to the beauty department, and God knows how long that's going to take.
Time to face the music, it's time to make you see. The root of all your problems is that you don't look like me.
Where is the beautiful girl?
My granddaughter, Amelia.
She is gorgeous.
Well, come on, Cinderella, we gotta get you ready for the ball.
Brand new girl, who's
braces are not due to come off for another 2 months.
Yank them, Doc. Now.
You're cute and fresh and wholesome, but science has a cure. The natural look is nowhere. Your hair just knows for sure. You gotta learn the art of teasing. Change your repertoire. All you need's a little bait that keeps you push your bra. Who's the one they can't resist? The brand new girl.
Brand new.
Do you see how boys are responding? My heart is totally bursting.
I know, I'm cavelling.
You look beautiful. Your hair.
Yeah, I had it done.
I see your face.
Is that good or bad?
It's good.
You think I'm gorgeous? You wanna date me? Love me and marry.
I decided I needed a complete makeover. Except this time, I make over my soul.
Well, there you are. That's the truth. You can do anything to the outer man, but it's the inner man that needs changing, right? And so it's fun when we can see that outward stuff, a new shade of lipstick, a hairdo. I got to tell you, some of the makeovers, I don't know if they look better after the makeover. Were you thinking that? I was like, ooh. Gosh, they went a little too far. But so we're looking at makeovers of our soul and how God wants to make those over. And sometimes we have outward changes that reveal an inward change. When I was in Youth with the Mission, there was a gal who had lived a sinful life. She had been engaged in the lesbian lifestyle. And so she was really rough around the edges. And she looked like a tomboy. Not that tomboys are bad. I'm Nathan married a tomboy and I love her. She's Sporty Spice. And so that's okay. So no, don't get any condemnation, you ladies. You're all out there like I have to eat celery like Sandra Bullock now. No, that's not the message. Change your brains. And so anyway, she just started to soften in the Lord. And she went, you know, from wearing overalls to wearing a little sundress in Hawaii and from hair that, you know, that she actually styled. And it was wonderful to watch somebody change from the inside out. Have you ever seen that experience where you just know somebody is changing and you can see it expressed in other ways? Well, that's what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 4. And I do want to read this text. It says, "This I say," verse 17 of chapter 4, "and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walked, See this? In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. These are terms about knowledge, and he's saying that these people who are not saved are ignorant, they're futile, they don't have a good understanding. So the battle begins in the mind. And our minds can be anti-Christ. Having the understanding darkened, and then it says ignorant is in them. Why? Because of the blindness of their hearts. When we have dark minds, it leads to blind hearts. And it will go on to say that who being past feeling. Have you ever seen people who are so dark in their minds that you see they're so hardcore in their emotions, in their hearts? Past feeling. And then they give themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So you become unholy in your soul. You know, you become lewd, unclean, greedy. And again, here's the battle for the mind. But you have not so learned Christ. Not just learned about Christ, but learned Christ. The more you get to know him, the more you become like him. And your soul and your heart and your head become conformed to Christ. If indeed you have heard of him and have taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So salvation is the idea here. Have you learned Christ? Are you following him? Are you walking after him? And if you have, if your mind and your heart and your soul are renewed, then it will lead to this. Then put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. So you're going to put off, remember, put off, put on. You're going to put off the old man, new man, and you're going to have something different in those columns. And be renewed by the spirit of your mind. Oh, so now your mind can be renewed? There is a spirit that can change the way you think, that changes the way you feel, that changes your behavior and your speech, absolutely. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's not corrupt and lewd anymore. It's righteous and holy. Therefore, put away lying. That would be the old man. And instead, speak the truth to your neighbor. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Do not give place to the devil. When our mind and our hearts and our souls and behaviors are poor, it gives place to the devil. He exploits that old man. So don't give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer. Instead, work with your hands and do what is good, that you may have something to give to him in need. Previous, these people were greedy and stealing and lying. Now the idea is that you would be hardworking and that your work isn't just for you alone, greediness. Your work is to give, that you work so that you can give to others, to him in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary. So not corrupt, but what is good for the edification, that they may impart grace to the hearers. So your words just aren't babbling. They're no longer negative, but now they are positive. They bring grace, graciousness, healing to others. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, ladies, there are some things that you can do that grieve God. If you continue to think and act in these ways, it actually hurts the heart of God. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Put it off. And with malice. So this is what we put on. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. So you can see how beautifully that text can go into those columns and divide into those areas of our lives. So the first person I want to interview is Frances Byrne. She works in the women's ministry office. You can come on out, Franny. She works in the women's ministry office. She does our special events. And I think Franny needs a makeover. How about you? Hi, Franny.
Hi, Leah.
I've never seen you with Rasta dreadlocks before.
I look lovely. This basically...
Hold on, is your mic on? Okay, ladies coming out after, don't forget to turn your mics on. Okay, Franny, go.
Well, I know that I look really great like this, don't I, with my tangled mess here. It kind of describes my life before I knew the Lord.
I've heard some stories about before you knew the Lord. I think there were some crazy parties at your pad.
Yes. I was that type of person that I really like to do things all the way. I don't do it halfway. So when I was in the world, I did everything.
The world had to offer.
Yes.
So could I say you did drugs? I know your daughter's here, but you won't ruin her. She's in college now. She can handle it.
Yes, everything that came my way that the world had to offer, I was taking it.
So drugs, drinking?
Everything. I was practically married and divorced by the time I was 16. I lived a lifestyle that was really destructive. And it mainly was because I thought that that was what was fun. I really wanted to live, you know, to the fullest. I really wanted to get out there and try everything, do everything. So if something came my way, I'm like, why not? Why not?
I know we don't want to go there because it's dishonoring to our husbands, but I'm assuming you were promiscuous.
Yes. I had a lifestyle that was not, it was not good. It was very destructive.
So you were lewd.
And, yes, and
I mean, come on, you guys, it's here.
It's
here in the text. What, nobody else out there has been lewd?
Yeah.
How many people out there you've been lewd? Thank you. Because you made it sound like she was an alien.
No.
You're like, oh, lewd? That never happens.
The thing is, the world lies to you, and it tells you those are the things that are going to bring happiness. I have these chains around my neck and hanging down because these were the chains that were choking me. My lifestyle was killing me. I mean, at such a young age, by the time I was 18, I had been there, done that. The tangled mess is my mind. I was... just every choice I made was really just making a mess of my mind.
So let me get into that a little deeper because you're in the mind thing. How was your mind futile or darkened or ignorant?
Well, when I looked up the word futile, it means it's fruitless. It means producing no result. So everything that I did that I thought was going to bring me happiness or fun was not producing fruit in my life. It was really destructive. And
so you're planting all these seeds,
yes,
the lewdness,
exactly,
the drugs, the whatever,
exactly,
and no crops come from that.
Right,
nothing good.
Right. It was, sin is fun for a season, but it lies to you. You're left alone. You're the inside of you is rotting.
If we're in your mind and the world lies to you, what's the greatest lies you were believing?
I was believing that that was going to fulfill me. I was believing that a guy was going to, I was looking for love, acceptance. I wanted to feel worthy. And the guys.
So let's stop you there. Why did you think you weren't worthy or not loved?
I guess
your mind must have told you something.
I wanted, well.
I know I'm going deep and I know you're about to cry, but tell us what you're thinking.
It goes a little bit deeper. I wanted a close relationship with my dad.
And your dad's been with your mom and he's really a good man. But
he's a wonderful man, but he's an old school kind of, not affectionate. And I just wanted...
Acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement, I guess. And so when I had relationships with guys, it was like, oh yeah, they like me. And, but it still didn't fulfill me.
Did your dad ever give you strokes or encouragement or notice the things you did?
No. I know in his way he showed love, but not in the way that I wanted. I wanted affection. I wanted to hear it.
Because Dobson will tell you that most rebellion and for women getting into sensual things, it's because there was this lack of relationship with the father. Now, I'm not beating on all the dads here, but that's a reality. I had a father, and I love him to death. He's funny and joyful, but my parents were divorced at a young age. And I followed a path pretty much like you. Mm-hmm. I could say probably everything you did, maybe, I've done. We haven't compared notes, nor do I want to, because I'm not going to glorify the flesh. We need to put off that old man. But I think we need to realize that rules that your parents might have without relationship, those warm fuzzies, will end in rebellion.
I had no boundaries.
So can we take that thing off?
Yes, we can.
What finally changed your mind?
So as I was living this destructive lifestyle, my mother and my brother were praying for me. They became Christians, and they told me about the Lord, and I knew that I had to change my life. But the only way I could do that was to cut those things out of my life. I accepted Jesus, and you know when you get like gum stuck in your hair, and sometimes the only way to get it out is to cut it off. And I had to cut away the things in my life that were holding me back. I had a very dramatic conversion.
I accepted. Tell them about that. You and your roommate like made a pact.
We did. My roommate and I were living this lifestyle. We moved out. We were young, but going to bars, had parties just about every night. And we said, I knew that my lifestyle was destructive, and I needed to change my life. We made a decision. We talked. She was going to become a Jehovah's Witness because that's how she was raised, and I was going to be a born again Christian because I knew that was the right thing. I knew that that was
because your brother.
Yes.
Now, at that time, was Jerome coming here to Calvary?
He was, and this is back in 1982. And I had come to church every so often with him, and I would bawl my eyes out, and I knew that that was the right, that was the truth. I knew it in my heart, but I didn't want to change my lifestyle. But as I was progressing in this destructive place that I was in, my friend and I decided, okay, we need to have one last party, and then I'll become a Christian, and she'll become a Jehovah's Witness. So I came to church. We had a Halloween party.
Like, who does this, right?
This is 1982.
She's out there like, what?
October 30th, Saturday night, we have our Halloween party. The next day, Halloween day, I get up, and I knew the service times. I got up. I was hungover, tired, and I was like, I didn't want to do this, but something inside of me was just driving me, pulling me. And I was like, okay, so I came. They didn't have like an official altar call. I just started crying. I was bawling my eyes out during worship, and I just told the Lord, I said, I hate who I am. That's exactly what I said. I hate who I am. I don't want to be me. Please forgive me. Give me a new life. Make me new. And he did. And I was just crying and crying. And afterwards, I was like, oh, I'm this new person. And I really was. It was like so dramatic. I was like, I was driving home, and I'm like, oh, it's so beautiful. The flowers. I mean, it's October, it's fall, but I'm just like, oh, it's beautiful. And everything was alive. And that day,
you were completely transformed
really,
by renewing
really
your
was.
Mind.
And that day, I get home, and my friend, she looks at me, and I'm like, oh, I love you, and she just doesn't get it. But that afternoon, everybody comes with all their paraphernalia, all the bongs, and all that stuff to start the party up again. Sorry, Michaela. They bring everything out, and I didn't know how I was going to react, but I could not be in that room. And it was so dramatic. It wasn't like I had to struggle and all the things that I thought I was going to have to give up. God took me that desire.
It was
just black and white, and I just walked out, and I never turned back.
I was a college co-ed like she was, and smoking bongs and dropping acid and being promiscuous, and the same kind of thing. When I prayed a prayer to be saved, it was radical.
Yeah.
It was then, and everything changed. And for me, I didn't have a Calvary Chapel. I was raised in Michigan. And I knew if I stayed around that stuff, I'd fall. Is that how you felt?
Yes.
Like it will get you?
I basically had to cut, like I said, all those things out of my life. I'm wearing a dark vest.
Go for it.
Because I want to tell you that the dark lifestyle was weighing me down. And even though my sins were like scarlet, God made them as white as snow. He made
Praise
me as white
Lord.
As snow. And I have a necklace here that I want to show you because the chains that were around my neck, God replaced it. And he said to me, he said that I'm a diamond. That those, you know that song, it's tangled up here. There's a
diamonds
song
out of the dust.
That he made
Whoa,
a diamond. Yes, I'm a diamond.
Diamonds out of the
yes.
dust. We need Nicole, Natalie.
And he's refining me. And he's polishing me, and I'm a new person in Christ.
So some of you out there, you might not be saved. Maybe you've been at the study and, you know, you're kind of in that dark mind, blinded, ignorant to the things of God. And it starts with these thoughts. The thought of, I don't like it. This is going nowhere. And God has so much more for you. Diamonds out of the dust, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so what a great testimony. Did you have a scripture or something else?
I do. I just wanted to share in Romans 12:2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good is good and acceptable and perfect, the perfect will of God. And I, even though I don't continue in that lifestyle and that's not where my struggles are, the enemy still wants to keep pulling us back. And the way that we battle is by renewing our mind.
Be in God's word, be in this yes. Bible study, come yes. to church, all those. Well, Franny, you yes. have to move down now because we have more to come. But God bless Francis. Well, sometimes it's our minds, but sometimes our hearts tangle up our minds. And the scripture says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so many of us go around following our hearts. And if that's what you're following, you could end up in a very destructive place. So Zanetta Romero, you know Zanetta. She was the evening overseer and has been in the office as the Bible study manager. And she is now my assistant, executive assistant. So, hey, Z.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Thank you.
Some of us, how many of you came to hashtag deliverance? Awesome.
Yay.
So you know a little bit of Zanetta's story, a lot of Zanetta's story. So you can go on the website to hashtag deliverance and rewatch her whole testimony because we can't get into all of it
right.
today.
A lot of details.
But you are going to tell us about your hard-heartedness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And in processing this and how, you know, asking the questions to myself, how does your heart become hard? How does that happen? And I remember very clearly looking back. The reason why my heart was so hard is because I was so self-focused. So I was on the throne in my life. And because of that,
it's all about me.
Yes.
And what makes me happy.
That's right. And when it's all about you, it bleeds into every other area of your life. So it starts with one thing, and really that's idolatry.
Yes.
You know, I'm just having yourself as an idol. I didn't know God. I didn't care to know God. Actually, I was very upfront with that to a lot of people. And so because I was so self-focused, no matter what different choices I had to make.
Well, what areas were mm-hmm. you selfish? I mean, because you say selfish, and everybody's like, okay, but like what ways were you selfish?
Well, I was married at the time, two children. I was first. I was first when it came to anything that my husband needed. I was first when it came to my children. And not that I didn't care about my children or didn't love them.
So it could be like your time, their time. Maybe your mm-hmm. husband needed something, but it's like, I haven't had gym time.
Exactly.
And when gym time's done, mm-hmm. that, so.
It, yes. And the gym was a huge one for me. I was, you know, it started just going down that path. And, so the gym, I mean, drinking was one for me too, because it's all about me. So I think that I need to feel good and I need what I need. So it just kept creating this hardness.
Now, mm-hmm. I think I heard you say that also you wanted to be outwardly.
Yes.
Just like.
Yes.
Perfect. I
yes.
don't know if it's banging or what it was that needed to be, but you said even yes. you were selfish with that.
Yes, absolutely. I remember starting to go to the gym. I would go once a day, turn into twice a day, and then it just multiplied from that. And I really believe that if I made the outside something so beautiful, whatever that was, because I never achieved it. I mean, I hardly had any body fat back then and had muscle and all these things, but was never satisfied and still had that emptiness, that void. But yes, absolutely. That was priority for
so
sure.
So when self is on the throne, it gives you a hard heart.
Definitely.
There is no room in your heart for really loving your children, your husband.
Right. Or
sacrificially.
Anybody.
Mm-hmm. No greater love has no man than this mm-hmm. to lay down his life for his friends. And
that's
you
right.
were not going to lay down any part of your life.
No. So, yes. And it wasn't only my husband and my children. Then it was just anybody, you know. And so I didn't have compassion. I didn't have kindness. I wasn't thinking about other people first and putting their needs before mine. Because again, just that self-consumed and I know that you have spoken before about how the mind and the heart are really one and the same because as I'm listening
yes.
to Fran, you know, all this stuff that's going on up here, it's connected directly to the heart. So, you know.
Yeah, I always like to say when the Bible speaks to the heart's here.
Right.
So, really, scripturally, that's the definition. So mind and heart are kind of difficult. So you had this hard heart. And how did it become tender?
Well, you know, and first, you know, it's by for sure giving my life to the Lord first. If that didn't happen, nothing else could have happened after that. But, and it's been choices. It was daily choices, even starting back from that was, almost 11 years ago. So daily choices to, okay, I'm going to, in fact, Ephesians 4:32 reminded me that, I had this one particular issue with another person in the workplace one time, and the Lord kept impressing the scripture upon my heart. So the Word of God is
Go
critical.
Go ahead and read it for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, and to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ forgave you. And I just remember repeating that because what I wanted to do is in my flesh approach this lady for something that was happening, and I would just get irritated sometimes when I would see her. And this is as a believer, and the Lord, I kept reading the scripture, and I'm no, be kind, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And every single day I did that, and you know, a couple months later, she actually approached me and was asking forgiveness from me because
she
of her
being
attitude.
So, hard.
So yes, the Lord just deals with people.
Did you bring us any things that you took on and took off?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. So first of all, I have my stone heart right here, and it's green and it's hard as a rock. And when the heart can't be penetrated, there's nothing that can go through this. If I try to stick any pins or anything through it, there's nothing that can go through it. And I remember so often when people would try to tell me about the Lord or tell me anything positive, nothing could penetrate it. So after Christ and my heart just started becoming, so this is my
Aww.
Flesh. Yeah, soft heart, which just choice by choice, you know, okay, think about others first. Don't put your interest before anybody else. Try to think about somebody else first and let's be kind to this person or let's be compassionate here. And so the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, I mean, critical. There's no way that I can make choices even today. like this by myself. It's the Word of God and His Word in me and the Holy Spirit in me who enables to be able to do that.
I have a favorite passage, and this might help some of you that mm-hmm. were in Zanetta's place. And I have prayed this so much in my life. But in Ezekiel chapter 11, it's talking about the children of Israel, and they're not being very cooperative. And he has exiled them, and he says, I'm going to gather you from the peoples and assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I'm going to give you the land, and they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and abominations, and this is my favorite part. Then I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of the flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Mm-hmm. So if you have one of those stony hearts, pray that God will take out your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh.
Right, and he totally changes it. I've shared with Lenya before, and like she said, you guys can look at the testimony, but I was so hard towards family, and now, like, the Lord switches it. He switches it completely. And a verse that I just want to share with you guys real quick is in Luke 12:34. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So my treasure is the Lord. My treasure above all else is the Lord, and because of him, that's where my heart is. So if that makes sense, that's why it's getting softer.
Thanks,
and softer.
Annetta.
Yes.
Well, now we have Megan England coming up. She oversees our moderators in the morning, one of the coordinators. Megan is a sweet pea, known her forever, it seems like.
She has been around a little while.
Is your mic on?
It's on.
Okay, let's just test again.
Test.
There we go. And Megan was very brave because I didn't know who was going to take the soul. You know, because you think when the soul is dark, man, that's just all over. And I had texted some friends, and she right away said, I want to take the soul. And I... Well, it seemed right away to me.
I prayed a lot over it because certainly any of these things, I think we can all attest to, it's hard to come up here and be transparent. But let me just give you a tiny bit of background. So I was saved at just before my 20th birthday, and much like these ladies, I lived that party lifestyle, and it makes me sad to know that we're all saying a lot of the same things, but was very, very promiscuous. And I loved the attention of guys, and there's just no doubt about it. And so I only say that to say that when the Lord saved me, a lot like Francis said, it was a radical change. I think one of the first things the Lord showed me in my heart was that my worth was in him. And, but I, admittingly, I knew this was an area that was definitely a stumbling block for me. And I had always kept it in prayer.
But, you know, it says in here in this unholy area, no, you're great, don't be sorry, that Satan can get a foothold. And
absolutely.
So, you know, sometimes what worked before, he's like, might work again.
That's right.
And so.
So though I had committed this to the Lord for years, you know, I think you kind of come to a place sometimes where you think, that's gone.
It's so past.
That's done. That's not even something.
So 1990s.
That, yep. I don't even entertain that. If any of you know my husband, I have a great husband. I have eyes
wonderful,
for him
godly.
Alone. He's a great man. But this last summer, I sell real estate. I had a customer. He was young, very handsome. No big deal at first. We worked together, didn't find a house. Well, as time went on, he began to flirt with me very, very, very openly. He knew I was married. He made a lot of comments, would tell me I was beautiful, thought I was funny. And amazingly, we can't really talk much about our mind and our heart without
right.
our soul.
Your mind was like, oh, he appreciates me.
You hit your 40s and
your heart's
all
like,
those,
pity pat.
Somebody's giving me attention. Wow. And not that I wasn't having it at home, and I think that's the point, is that my heart wasn't even open to it, and the enemy grabbed hold of that.
There was no warning sign that you were going to fall. You're not like watching some romantic whatever, and you're like, yeah, nothing.
No, but it was one little thing, and, you know, at first I just brushed him aside, and I admit it went on for, well, I'll tell you, he never bought a house because... Mm-hmm. There came a point that I realized this is taking a stronghold. I began to think about it when I wasn't with him and when we weren't looking at houses. See, it's making me shake because I know it was wrong. And
so what did you do?
I brought it to a dear friend of mine. I knew that this, I confessed it to the Lord, but I knew on my own I couldn't. You know, those things take root and they take deep root. And so I took it to a girlfriend of mine who I confessed it to, and I just laid it out there and really openly and honestly.
So
and
if we confess our sins to one another and pray for one another, we'll be healed. Anything you try to hide will become a foothold. You think about that. If you're trying to hide something you watched, something you read, some relationship, something, you're hiding money, hiding whatever, if you hide it, it's not in the light. And the enemy will create a stronghold out of it. So the smartest thing to do is immediately bring it to the light. Immediately.
And that girlfriend has continued to stand in prayer.
But you
and
did something else with your
actions. I did something that I think is the most important part, is I cut it off. And I couldn't help him buy a house. It was not worth what could happen.
You dropped a client.
I dropped a client.
You could have made money, but you cut that off, whether
absolutely.
It was going to bring money or not.
And said, it's just not. Well, all him. But I think we have to look at our sin like that, that when it begins to take a foothold, when it's in your mind, when it's in our hearts, you have to see it and you have to make radical change. And that was the encouragement of my friend too, that, you know, she held me accountable to it. And, but it also brought back to my mind that none of us are beyond sin.
Yeah, be careful when you judge others, lest you fall.
Yes.
Because you're on a slippery slope.
Absolutely. And so, I thought of the verse in, Matthew 16:26 that says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And that's it. I mean, it's
not... Your soul's worth fighting for.
It is. And there is a battle for our souls. And all our insecurities and all those things that, you know, Zanetta spoke about, we just... And Francis, too, that we just want to be... We seek it from other places. We want to.
We need
you know,
to get it from Jesus,
that's right.
But sometimes
that's right.
we're going
to go to the wrong place. So
you know,
absolutely.
Jeremiah talked in the name of God as you move down, so that the next
do you
person
want me to
can
do
have
my
it.
Exchange.
Oh yes, what are you changing?
Mostly because I'm hot.
Okay, so your jacket represents.
So it represents that I'm in prison, right? It's got my stripes, and so I, underneath, took off, and the Lord was so gracious to carry my burden for me, and underneath I'm lighthearted, and it's so much better when the Lord carries it for us. So I just encourage you, ladies.
Thank you, Megan.
Absolutely. Oh.
Jeremiah, again speaking to the children of Israel, because they were always so naughty, but he said, you've been trying to drink from cisterns. These are wells, and they're broken cisterns, and they can hold no water. And you can come to me. And Jesus said, out of your life will flow rivers of living water. So stop going to the wrong watering holes, is the idea. Janae, you know Janae Nay. This is my husband's wife and the mother of my grandchildren. My husband's wife? Oh, my son's wife. Yeah, yeah. No, we don't have sister wives.
Have concubines.
None of that.
I am not.
It's my son's wife. That was so bad. Hey, Janae.
Hi. After that, I'm like red.
I married
just
Nathan.
A nice break.
Well, we wanted to talk to Janae about her speech. Does anybody else struggle with their speech? This is my dad's hardest area of life. That when he hits his thumb or does something, he still can come up with a bad word. And then it's just like, Lord, help me. I don't know if you're going to talk about bad words, but tell us about your speech.
Well, different from the ladies that are up here, I would say I knew the Lord. I know the Lord. And I had to go through just the Lord really breaking me down to realize that I did have poor speech. But before I was really saved and really had a relationship with the Lord, I did curse, and I thought it was cool. I thought it made me cool, and it totally changed my attitude on life. And it was just part of my vernacular. That's what I did. And then old habits die hard. So when I came to know the Lord, it was really hard to change my speech and to erase those words where they were just kind of fillers. They didn't even make sense. Like, let's be honest, a lot of times that's what they are. And so I had to erase that. But really, what I wanted to share with you ladies today was after I knew the Lord, and I know the Lord, when I was married, I think is when God revealed the most to me that I liked to shoot arrows out of my mouth, and I liked to pierce the heart. I liked to speak lies to my neighbors, and they were lies because it was my desire to hurt them. It wasn't necessarily truth, and I hurt Nate I don't know. I mean, I do know I hurt him. But now when I look back at it, I can't believe that I said things that I said that really were just, I don't know, destructive and really tore down our relationship. And
you can see it in their face. Because I've done that to Skip before, and you just see the arrow hit, and the wound is deep, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, Lord, how am I ever gonna, you know, fix that?
Yeah, and I think a hard truth for me was in Matthew 12:34 when it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and that was a truth that was hard to swallow, because what I was saying in turn was basically my heart was corrupt, that my heart had darkness in it because of the things that I said. And then when I realized that, I think...
it's humbling.
It humbled me and it made me realize...
Because we think better of ourselves exactly. until it comes out and you're like, oh, wait, they're connected. There's no way mm-hmm. one can be right if the other was
totally.
Off.
Absolutely. And so that's just kind of where I was at in our marriage. I worked on it. I tried really hard not to say degrading or belittling things to hurt him, and I kept trying to correct it. But long story short, it took my heart being broken by the Lord and a situation in our marriage where God like muzzled me, and that's for a lack of better words. I was so brokenhearted that I no longer had words to say. There was nothing I could say that could penetrate his heart enough that would portray what was going on in my heart. And so he just muzzled me. And once that occurred, I really saw not only the detrimental state that our marriage was in, but how I kind of pushed it there too. And I aided that by saying mean things to him and not edifying him and not giving words of affirmation and building him up and encouraging
him. And that contrast
him.
Is lying, angry, bitter, as opposed mm-hmm. to good, edifying, gracious, yeah. and kind.
Yep. And really that's what it came down to, is that I needed to really surrender over my polluted heart and allow the Lord to purify it.
I'm so proud of you, Janae. I love you.
It's been years, I promise.
Yes. But nonetheless, I'm really proud. Aren't you guys proud of her? Some of you out there need to do the same thing. So you brought a before and after picture to show us what you put off and put on.
And talk about humiliating. This is a humbling moment for me.
Oh, those were her black lips. And what lips do you have now? Wow, I don't even know how you did that. Thank you, Janae.
You're welcome.
Our final testimony is Marissa Tapia. You guys may know her mom. She's our evening coordinator. She oversees the Bible study. And so I know that we prayed for Marissa for a while because, you know, you kind of pray for your daughters, your sons together. And Marissa had some behavior that she needed to change. And we have in here your behavior could be greedy or giving. That your behavior, it says, don't steal anymore, don't be angry anymore without sin, don't hold grudges. Instead, be hardworking, give to the needy, and forgive. So.
Yes, am I on? Okay. So it all kind of, it's a really long, complicated story, but I think I can tell it in a short amount of time. When I was in middle school, I struggled with some mental health issues, you know, suicide, self-harm. And I had to be hospitalized for a while for that. And when I got out and came back to normal life, I was really empty and broken, and I felt like I was really impressionable. And so I had an uncle who was a Christian in the family. Well, he was a professed Christian. And he ended up sexually abusing me for a while. And, yeah.
That's really brave to say.
Yeah.
And I know you guys know people.
Yeah, so it was really hard because I came to Christ while that was still happening. So I knew that it was, that I belonged to the Lord all these years. But it was also really confusing because the person who led me to Christ was also doing all these things to me.
That would be so conflicting. It would make me want to hate Christ or hate the church, or it's all that hypocritical. Mm-hmm. How can something that makes me feel good be so wrong, and the person that's supposed to be right is so wrong? And how did you?
So I ran from the church. My family is really, they've been members of Calvary for a really long time, and I would come to church, but inside I was running. Even though I knew I belonged to the Lord, I was like, no, this is triggering. I don't want to hear scriptures from the Bible. It brought back all of these horrible memories. So I ran. And
how far did you run? Where did you go?
I ran as far as believing that that I couldn't be with men, ever. And I made it to college, and my best friend turned into my girlfriend. And for 3 years, I was in a relationship with her. And I thought, hey, this is who I am. This is natural to me. I believed all the lies. I went further into the darkness, feeling at times I would hear the Lord whisper in my heart, come back to me, come back to me. And I would have to verbally, it was so strong sometimes, I would have to verbally say, no, Lord, I'm running from you.
So what I love about this testimony is that God reaches out to prodigals, that His Holy Spirit is like the hound of heaven. And so often we have people that are far, far away, and we're like, oh, Lord, can't you reach them? Can you speak to them? And really, at those points, it's God's job. And look at Him. He was calling out to her as far as she ran, like the prodigal, you know, maybe down in the pig pods. And yet, He still thought, I could go home and there'd be forgiveness in my Father's house. I'm so pleased that the Lord pursued you.
Yes, and, you know, meanwhile, all this is happening, and I'm thinking, you know, I think that I love her, that I think that this would last forever, and this is just going to be my life, and all of these lies upon lies upon lies upon secrets from my family was just, that was going to be my life. And finally, my mom had had a feeling for a while, but she, it was finally revealed to her. And when it finally was, the last year of my relationship with her, my Auntie Z, my mom, and I'm sure some women in this room, and dozens of others were on their knees praying for me, for my soul. And until May 2014, out of nowhere, I wasn't even the one, but my girlfriend at the time broke up with me. And I was totally shocked. I was like, I lost everything. Like, I put everything into that relationship, and now it was gone. And then I had to take a couple days off of work. I couldn't move. I was so brokenhearted. And then I heard, you're empty. Now let me fill you up.
Thank you, Jesus.
And it was the Lord. It was absolutely the Lord. And so I just want to read the passage that we're reading. It's the Message translation, really spoke to me. But it says, and so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, the mindless crowd. They refuse for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Pun intended. Feeling no pain.
Okay, wait a minute. That was really good. They can't think straight. So if any of you have some homosexual relatives, you need to pray for their mind. Okay, sorry.
No, really. There's humor in it. Like, my mom and I even joke now. So feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. And the one verse that has been, my mom has repeated this to me since the time I was 13, Jeremiah 29:11. And I know that a lot of people hear that verse and it triggers many things and it means many things to them, but
for I know the thoughts
exactly
that I think for you, says the Lord.
Because I thought I knew the plans in my life.
Yes.
I thought I was directing the path,
yes.
But the Lord says, for I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So what are you changing?
So I'm wearing a black infinity scarf because I thought my life would forever be in darkness. But the Lord tells me that I'm forever wrapped in the blood of his sacrifice.
Amen. Oh, man. Jesus can do anything. Isn't that what we said? There is nothing impossible for him. There is no lost cause that he cannot reach. And that's why we started this morning with, I exalt thee. Exalt him above whatever situation you face. And God can do miracles. I'm so proud of you, ladies. Thank you so much. Woo! So anyway, I don't think you'll ever look at Ephesians in this part of the chapter the same again. And you'll be able to talk to people you know and say, oh, God wants to do a makeover mashup in your life. He wants to transform you. And there's some things you need to take off. And there's some things you need to put on. And that obedience to Christ obviously leads to transformations that are unbelievable. Let's just praise the Lord together. Thank you, God. I'm not who I was in either of these ladies, but I'm not who I'm going to be yet either. There are still things, and the enemy is still alive, and sin still exists, and flesh still rages its stinking, ugly head. Lord, thank you that you've given deliverance to these women next to me and that you want to continue to deliver the women who are here. If there's anyone here that is not saved and you want to raise your hand and come out of the darkness into the wonderful light, that you know that your mind has been darkened and your heart blinded, if there are any of you, if you raise your hand, we just want to pray for you, give you this opportunity. Give you a minute just to be able to turn it all over to God. God bless you right here in the front row. Thank you, sweetheart, even in the front row. Anybody else? It's hard for me to see, so you may have to keep it up there. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now I think there's quite a few of you that are like Marissa. You come, but you know better. And you're living that dual life that you say you're a Christian, but you're not living as a Christian. If there are any of you that have fallen off the rails, or there's the temptation like Megan, if you'd raise your hand, we'd like to pray for you. God bless you and you and you and you. So many of you. Bring it to the light. Do not keep it hidden. Do as these women have done. Confess it to your mother. Confess it to a friend. Confess it to your husband, whoever it is, and tell them, this is what my evil heart and mind and soul has been pondering and thinking. And then ask God for forgiveness, put that all off, and put on the newness in Christ. Can I pray for you that raised your hands? Lord, thank you that we were lost but can be found. We were blind and you can help us see. And this is the moment, Lord, where you want to do that transformation. For some, salvation from sin unto life, death to life. And for these other women, areas of their life that are so cancerous and wounded and stinking that they could defile the whole body. Lord, heal them. I know that there is a balm in Gilead that heals the sin-sick soul. And so I pray that you would save, that you would rescue, you would shine your light, and bring transformation in Jesus' name. Amen.